Eternal God, we bow before Thee. We do thank Thee that we have a service tonight, and we're gathered here indeed to worship the Lord. And so, our God, again, may our worship be owned and blessed of heaven. And come now, Lord, and help the preacher to take up Thy word, and, O Lord, to preach with power as given by the Holy Spirit. And again, Lord, tonight may we see the Savior. For we pray and ask all these things in the Lord's precious and peerless name. Amen. So Ruth chapter 3, and our text for this evening is the verse 5. And she said unto her, that is Ruth said unto Naomi, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Naomi had spoken to Ruth about finding rest for her daughter-in-law, Ruth 3 and verse 1. She knew that rest could only be found in Boaz, reminding us that true rest and joy and peace for the soul can only be found in Christ. But then Naomi points out something else about Boaz. She said, and now is not Boaz of our kindred, whose maidens thou wast. And now is not Boaz of our kindred, even though Ruth was from the country of Moab, even though Ruth was a Gentile, and Naomi of Israel. Boaz is of our kindred. What does this teach us? It teaches us and reminds us, and it reminded her, that the both of them were related to Boaz. They were related through marriage. And this teaches us that the rest, which is sought by so many, can only be found in Christ, and only through a deep personal relationship with Him. Paul reminds us of this, for he said, we which have believed do enter into rest. So we only have rest if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, Hebrews 4, verses 3 and 9. And the Lord Himself, of course, did say that men can only find rest and enjoy peace if they come to Him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Notice further that Naomi told Ruth that she would be identified by the words, with whose maidens thou wast. This speaks to us of her obedience. Look at chapter 2 and verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. That's what Boaz told her she was to do. Chapter 2, verse 22. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean. Here we have the obedience of Ruth. Boaz told her she was to glean with his maidens. And we read here in verses 22 and 23 of chapter 2 that is exactly what she did. Obedience to Christ, knowing and doing His will ensure us of rest and peace that is found in Him. The believer who is living contrary and in disobedience to the will of the Lord has no peace. The backslider, for example, doesn't have peace because the backslider knows that they're walking contrary to the Lord's will and to the Lord's word. Therefore, they don't have peace, for they're not resting in God's word. But the one who, as Paul said, as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, will enjoy the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Who enjoys the peace of God? Paul says, the servants of Christ doing the will of God. And so Ruth would find this peace in Boaz, becoming his wife. She would find that peace because she was obedient. She did what Boaz had commanded her to do. Naomi then goes on to give Ruth instruction how she should conduct herself in her meeting with Boaz, her kinsman redeemer. She tells Ruth that when you meet Boaz, this is how you are to behave. This is how you are to conduct yourself. And we can learn from this meeting how we ought to conduct ourselves when we meet with our Boaz, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. We notice, first of all, Ruth and her appearance before Boaz. Naomi speaks to Ruth about her planned appearance before Boaz. Here she speaks to her, first of all, about her preparation. In telling her how she should prepare herself, we should note just when Naomi spoke to Ruth about her preparation. Chapter 2, verse 23. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her. And so what we have here is a picture of Ruth just coming out of the fields where she had been gleaning and returning to where she's staying with her mother-in-law. She had just come in from the fields. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her. It was then that Naomi spoke to Ruth about meeting with Boaz and how she was to prepare for that meeting. We notice the change. Because in verse 3, Naomi says this is her preparation. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. So Ruth had been working in the fields for her master Boaz, but now she was going to meet him in a more intimate way. So she was to change. She was to wash. She was to anoint herself and put on her proper raiment for meeting with Boaz. She had to prepare to meet him. That's the point. And so it is with us. When you and I go forth to meet our Boaz, we must make preparation for that meeting. Yes, we most certainly will wash the flesh and put on our clothes for going up to the house of the Lord. But there must be spiritual preparation also. Each time we come into the Lord's house, we need to make preparation for to meet with Him. You recall how the Lord told Moses how he was to prepare before he went up into the mount to meet with God. And that's what we do. We come to the Lord's house, we come to meet with God. We're not coming as we would, as it were, go next door to speak to our neighbor or see someone in our place of employment. No, this is different. This is a different meeting. We come to the Lord's house, or we come to pray and worship before God. We're coming to meet God. So there needs to be the proper preparation. Look at Exodus 34. Exodus 34 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, shew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. Verse 2. And be ready. There's the preparation. Be ready in the morning. God is saying to Moses, be ready to meet me. If we were to go and meet the Queen of England, we would be involved in a different preparation than, say, when we're going out to the mall. A very different preparation. We're going to meet the Queen. And we've seen photographs of individuals who receive their OBEs and their knighthoods and all the rest of it, and how they're all dressed up, because they're going to meet the Queen of England. We're going to meet the God of Heaven. So there must be a readiness. There must be a preparation. God said to Moses, and be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of Sinai. Verse 4, and he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning. He's going to meet with God. He rose up early in the morning and went up onto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand two tables of stone. There you have his preparation. And verse 5, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. Would that not indicate the need for preparation? The God of Heaven came down and stood with Moses and proclaimed the name of the Lord. God said, be ready in the morning. And so we see that Moses was to make good preparation because he was going to meet with God. So it is with us. Ere we leave our own dwelling places, We should look to the Lord, prepare our souls, and ask the Lord to make ready our hearts to receive the word. Be ready in the morning. And Naomi told Ruth, basically, she was to make ready to meet with Boaz. So you have her change, and you have her concentration. When Ruth prepared to meet with Boaz, she left the fields of her gleaning behind. And her concentration and focus was on Boaz. You will notice that when she came and made her way to meet with Boaz, there was no talk about her gleaning in the fields. Any talk there was with Boaz. She was concentrated on meeting with him. She was focused on meeting her Boaz. So when we make our way to the place where we will meet with Christ, our focus ought always to be on him. We're coming to meet with Christ. Our prayer ought to be that of the Greeks. When they came to the Lord's disciples and said to his disciple, "Sir, we would see Jesus." There was a multitude of people there who had gone up to Jerusalem for the Passover. And the Greeks came to the disciples. And they didn't say, "Sir, we would see John, or we would see Philip, or we would see Thomas." They said, "We would see Jesus." They were focused on meeting Christ. And believer, let us learn this lesson. Let us pray to that end, that when we go up to the Lord's house, we will see Jesus. Our focus will be on him. You recall when the Lord entered into Capernaum. We read in Mark 2 and verses 1 and 2. He entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Christ was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together. Why were they gathered together? Because it was noised abroad Christ was in the house. In other words, they came to that house to see Christ. Their focus was on him. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. Unto them. All who had gathered in the house heard the word of the Lord, and they gathered into that house because they wanted to see Christ. They wanted to meet with him. And surely that's what we want. When we come to the Lord's house, we want to see Christ. We want to meet with Christ. That's how we ought to come then, to the Lord's house, to worship, to see him, to have our focus and our concentration on him. We want to see him. We want to hear him. We want to meet with him. We want to ask him to touch our hearts. We want him to encourage us. We want him to teach us. We want him to bless us. It's the Lord we want to meet with. We need to leave the fields of our labor behind and concentrate on him. That's what Naomi was basically telling Ruth to do. And that's what she did do. When she came to the place where Boaz was, she was only concerned with him. We notice not only her preparation, but also her path. Naomi told Ruth, get thee down to the floor. That's where Boaz was. Ruth, to be raised up, to be Boaz's wife, she must go down first. Notice her direction. Her going down speaks to us of her humility. Remember, she's from country of Moab. She's a Gentile. She's a widow. She's poor. She was going to be lifted up to be the wife of Boaz. Who was Boaz? We're told in Ruth 2 and verse 1, he was a mighty man of wealth. So this was going to be quite a change for Ruth. She was going to be lifted up to be married to a mighty man of wealth. But before that happened, she had to take the road of humility and go down. Solomon tells us, Proverbs 15 and 33, before honor is humility. Before Ruth was honored, she had to take the humble place. Again, Solomon said, Proverbs 22 verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Now, you nearly think that verse was written specifically for Ruth. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And the one whom Ruth was going to meet would honor her, make her his wife, this mighty man of wealth. You know, when we came to Christ, we had to take the humble place too. We had to go down. We had to go down. There was no point in us going to the Lord with a proud, high and mighty spirit. We had to humble ourselves before God, confessing we're nothing more than poor, hopeless, lost sinners. We had to go down. Ruth was a poor widow from the country of Moab, and he a mighty man of wealth. Christ, our Boaz, is a mighty man of wealth. And we are married to him. And now, as I've said before, we're richer than millionaires. But when we come to worship him today, we must come and take the humble place. That's why, when we come to the Lord's house and we pray, we bow our heads as a sign of humility, respect, and reverence. Because we know we're coming into the house of God, into God's presence. James, the apostle, tells us, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. James 4 and verse 10. And isn't that what we want when we come into the Lord's house to meet with the Lord? We want to be lifted up. We want our spirits lifted. We want our souls lifted. We want our eyes lifted. Taken away from the things of time and sense around us and our eyes lifted heavenward to Christ. We want our feet lifted and placed upon higher ground. That's what we want. And to obtain these blessings, we must be prepared to go down to take the humble place, as Ruth did. We have her direction and we have her destination. Naomi told Ruth where she could meet with Boaz. She said, "Get thee down to the floor." So said, not a very romantic place to meet your future husband. In the threshing floor, that's where she would meet with him. Not in a house, not in a castle, not in a palace, but on a floor. But you know what this teaches us? This teaches us and reminds us that we can meet with Christ and fellowship with him, our Boaz, anywhere. Whether it is in a house, or in the house of God, or in a palace, wherever it is, we can meet with Christ and fellowship with him. As C.F. Butler wrote, "What matters where on earth we dwell, on mountaintop or in the dell, in cottage or in mansion fair, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. On land or sea, what matters where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there." Yes, it is true what Paul said, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is." We are to come to the Lord's house, Hebrews 10 and verse 25. We are to assemble together to worship. But there are those times when we can't do that. Illness, weather like this. And we can't assemble together. But we can still meet with the Lord. We can still meet with him and fellowship with him. We can meet with him in a house, on a hillside, in a hospital, where Jesus is. It is heaven there. On land or sea, what matters where Jesus is. Is heaven there. And if it is on a floor, and we meet with Christ there, it'll be a heaven upon earth. Scottish Covenanters met in the hills of Scotland and worshipped God in the heathers of the hills of Scotland. And they met there in fear of their lives. But those meetings in the heathers of the hills of Scotland were times of great blessing for the Scottish Covenanters. See where Jesus is. It is heaven there. Notice also her patience, her preparation, her path, and her patience. Naomi gave Ruth more advice regarding the meeting with Boaz. She said, "Make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking." Verse 3. In other words, Naomi was telling Ruth to be patient and not rush into the presence of Boaz. Get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he has done eating and drinking. There's her patience. She was to be patient. She was not to rush into the presence of Boaz. How often do we rush into the Savior's presence? When we meet, say, for Him, or with Him for prayer. Consider our waiting upon the Lord. We have an example of this when the disciples came to the Lord as He was praying. And in Luke chapter 11, the disciples evidently came upon the Lord as He was praying somewhere. In Luke 11 and verse 1, and it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And it came to pass, as He was praying in a certain place, mark the words, when He ceased, they were patient. They patiently waited until the Lord had finished. Then they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And notice that Ruth must wait until Boaz finished, as the disciples had to wait until the Lord was finished praying. An American evangelist, Wilbur J. Chapman, held a gospel campaign in a city in the States many years ago. He had been told that another well-known evangelist, a man who was known more for his praying, John Hyde of India, was in the same city. Mr. Chapman contacted John Hyde and asked him would he meet with him in the place where he was staying, and asked him would he come and pray for him for the campaign. The date and the time was set. And Mr. Chapman said that Mr. Hyde arrived, came into Mr. Chapman's room, said he wouldn't come in, and he turned the key in the door. And he says they got down to pray. And Mr. Chapman waited and waited and waited for praying Hyde to start praying. He waited 5 minutes before praying Hyde lifted his voice to the Lord. Mr. Chapman said he never heard praying like it. What I'm saying is, praying Hyde of India did not rush into the Lord's presence. Praying Hyde of India knelt down and waited and waited until he was assured that the Lord, that he had the Lord's attention. And then he began to pray. Praying Hyde saw a great work done simply through his praying. But he knew how to conduct himself when he came in to the Lord's presence. We need to be aware how to conduct ourselves when we come into the Lord's presence to pray, whether it's in the house of the Lord or in our own homes. You think of it. We often read about waiting upon the Lord. And we know that waiting upon the Lord refers to prayer. But that very term would indicate a patient waiting, not rushing into the Lord's presence, but waiting, as praying Hyde did that time in the room of the evangelist Chapman. He waited, and he was waiting on the Lord, and then lifted his heart to the Lord in prayer. not only in our waiting on the Lord, but also in our worship of the Lord. We need to be careful that we don't rush into His presence. The words of the psalmist are very appropriate when we come before the Lord to worship. Psalm 89, verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. I don't know how often you're on sermon audio, and it's a great tool for the spread of the gospel and for those who are unable to get out to the house of God. But it's interesting just to go down the list of churches that are on there. Sometimes I'll do that, just to see what other churches are doing in different parts of the country. And it's amazing what you see sometimes. And in some of those places of worship, there's a great lack of reverence. The way the pastor or the minister talks about the Lord, the way the people in the church behave. I was in sermon audio last night, and there was the camera on the pulpit. And I don't know what this character was doing, but he's walking up and down the pulpit with a phone to his ear. Sometimes it's not as bad as that. But where's the reverence? Where is the proper way of conducting ourselves? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. Once again, using the illustration of meeting with the Queen of England, you've got an OBE and you're given the date, you're to go to Buckingham Palace. You cannot possibly just rush into where the Queen of England is standing. You're told where to stand and you're told what to do and you're told how to behave yourself when you come before the Queen. Well, we're coming before the King. Therefore, we must conduct ourselves appropriately. We must conduct ourselves scripturally. We must conduct ourselves reverently. Psalm 46 and verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. I have mentioned this gentleman before. He's in the glory. He's a Mr. Rolton. A godly, lovely, lovely man. And he had an accident one time and upset his balance and couldn't drive, and church bus always had to pick him up and bring him to church. Mr. Rolton was there when the bus arrived about 50 minutes before the service started. Mr. Rolton would come in and he would always see him over in his own place, in his own pew, and he'd sit down and he'd bow his head. He's not making a scene, drawing attention to himself. He bows his head in prayer for a number of minutes. He's just preparing himself for the service. He didn't come rushing into the Lord's house. He came in and sat down and prepared himself. And then he would sit reading the Bible until the service commenced. There's no rushing into the Lord's presence there. And so it is with us. You'll notice in verse 7, and when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly. She was conducting herself aright. She came softly. So when we come into the Lord's house, we ought to come in softly. Because we're coming into the Lord's presence. We press on quickly and we hail Ruth and her approach to Boaz. Naomi continues her advice and instruction regarding her meeting with Boaz. Verse 4. And in verse 4, it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. What Naomi told Ruth to do is certainly not what we would advise any young woman to do today. But we must remember that many customs in Bible times are very different from what we would do today. And we notice also that of this incident, the motives were pure. There was nothing immoral being suggested or done here. Nevertheless, there are still lessons from Ruth's actions that we can apply to our meeting with the Lord. Notice the place. Naomi told Ruth, and it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. Verse 4. Now it would have been futile for Ruth to go somewhere where the Lord, or where Boaz wasn't lying down. And so Naomi told Ruth, mark the place. Give attention to the place where Boaz will be found. Don't go somewhere else. Mark the place where Boaz will be found and where you can meet with him. She was not to go blindly to any place, but to mark the place and go there where she would be sure of meeting with Boaz. You apply that today. That thought, that teaching, and there are many Christians going to places of worship today where the Lord is not to be found. The Lord is not there. They go to worship in places of apostasy where the Lord is not to be found. When the Philistines fought with Israel and defeated Israel, they took the symbol of God's presence, namely the Ark of God. They took it away with them. That was a tragedy in the eyes of Israel. And Phinehas' wife gave birth just at that time. She gave birth to a child. And she said, she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel. And I'll tell you this. That word Ichabod could be written above many a so-called place of worship today. Because the Lord is not there and the glory has departed. And yet Christians continue to go to these places. And all they're getting is stones for bread. They're not getting anything that will satisfy the hunger of their souls. And any professing Christian who is attending such a place ought to get out. That's God's command. And I've heard all the arguments. Oh, well, I can't leave. Because my parents used to worship here. My grandparents worshipped here. This is the church of our family. Doesn't matter. God says, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. 2 Corinthians 6 verses 14 to 18. in Ephesians 5 and verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The Lord is not in such places of darkness, such as apostate churches where Christ isn't preached and the Bible isn't believed and miracles are denied and the blood is not exalted and salvation is not taught, along with a host of other matters. The Lord's not there. We need to be in the place where the Lord is. Then you'll notice the posture. Naomi told Ruth that when she found Boaz, that she was to lie down at his feet. Verses 4, 7, and 8. And when we come together to meet with our Boaz, whether in the act of worship or in the matter of prayer, we must come in spirit and in heart to the feet of Christ. That's our proper place. How many times do we read in the Gospels that people came to the Savior? Remember, people who didn't know the Lord. They wouldn't call themselves believers. They came to the Lord to be healed or to be touched, and they came to the Lord. What was the first thing they did? They fell at His feet. We have known the Lord for some time, so therefore we ought to know what to do. In heart and soul and mind and spirit, we ought to come and fall at the Savior's feet. Matthew 28 and verse 9, Luke 7 verse 38, Luke 10 and verse 39. Matthew 28, you have the women who met the Lord on the day of resurrection. What did they do? The first thing they did was to fall at His feet. In Luke 7 and verse 38, you have the woman of the city who the Lord saved, and she came and stood at His feet behind Him and washed His feet with her tears. In Luke 10 verse 39, we have the two sisters. Only Mary was the one who came and sat at His feet, hearing His word. When Legion was delivered of devils, the townsfolk came out to see him and see what had happened. What did they find? They found Legion sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. He's at the Master's feet. When we come to worship, let us come down at His feet. In our hearts, in our minds, and in our spirits. We notice the precepts. When she would get near to Boaz, even at his feet, Naomi told Ruth, he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Verse 4. When she would come into the presence of Boaz, Naomi told Ruth that she may expect to receive a word from Boaz, for he will tell thee what thou shalt do. When we come into the Lord's house and into the Lord's presence, should we not come like Ruth, and expect to get a word from the Lord to tell us what we should do? When we come into the Lord's presence, do we not come expecting to receive a word from the Lord? And the Lord will tell us what we ought to do. That's exactly what we need each time we come before the Lord. Lord, we need a word from Thyself. We need the Lord to tell us what to do, how to live our life as a Christian, how to be holy, how to avoid sin. Tell us what sin is. We need to hear so much from the Lord. And as Nicodemus said, Lord, we know that Thou art a teacher. Come from God. So what better teacher could we have than Christ, a teacher who's come from God? We're getting the best teaching when the Lord is our teacher. So when the Lord tells us what we are to do from His word, the word is preached and the Lord's telling us this is what we do, then we have no argument. Because you say, well, that's the Lord. It's the Lord's word. I cannot argue against the Lord's word. And so it was with Ruth. When Boaz told her what to do, as on other occasions Ruth did it. If the Lord tells us what to do, may we endeavor to go out and do it. Not be a hearer of the word only, but a doer also. So before we come to meet with our Boaz, let us make it our prayer. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Thy glorious aid afford, teach me thy way. Help me to walk aright. That's what we want. We want the Lord to show us how we are to walk aright. More by faith, less by sight. Lead me with heavenly light. Teach me thy way. What wonderful lessons we have in these few verses. From seeing Ruth and how she was instructed to conduct ourselves with Boaz. May we conduct ourselves with our Boaz in a similar way. He is our King. He is God. We cannot rush into His presence. We must be still and know that He is God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving and gracious Father, we do bless Thee for the teaching of Thy word. We think, Lord, again of Mary, and she sat at the Master's feet, hearing His word. O Lord, may we not only hear Thy word, but may we receive Thy word. Lord, write this word upon our hearts. Even as Moses went up that mount with the tables of stone, and Lord wrote His word on those tables. Lord, write Thy word upon the fleshly tables of our hearts tonight. For Lord, on those tables were written the words of God that told Israel and us what we ought to do. O Lord, show us always what we ought to do. Give us the grace to do it. May we be obedient children of Thine. Thou, Lord, be with us as we leave Thy house. Grant us, Lord, each one of us, traveling mercy. Lord, may Thy hand be upon the steering wheel. And, O Lord, guide us as we make our way home. And Lord, be with us throughout this week and all are going out and coming in. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.